let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the movie memoir, Healing My Pilgrimage with Tagore, India's revered teacher by Linda George, Ph.D., a retired clergy person with over 30 years of experience in civilian and military chaplaincy, explores her own grief experiences, including the deaths of two husbands, as well as reflections on myriad other losses everyone suffers. Dr. George shares how we can easily relate to the sorrows of the Nobel Prize-winning poet Tagore, who lived from 1861 through 1941. She says his life and writings are strikingly relevant today and offer heartfelt messages of hope and strength. Linda George served as a U.S. Army chaplain for 24 years, attaining the rank of lieutenant colonel, and served in civilian chaplaincy for 8 years. Linda L. George, Ph.D., author of Healing My Pilgrimage with Tagore, India's revered teacher, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's my pleasure and honor.
What was the motivation to write this book? Why did you feel it was necessary to write this book and to share your experiences with Tagore?
First of all, just let me give you a little background about who Tagore was.
Yes, please.
As you said, Rick, he lived from 1861 to 1941, an astonishingly long life for someone that was born in 1861. He lived to be 80 years old. And he grew up in a large extended family in northern India. They were of a high caste. And he was the youngest of 14 children. His father and his grandfather and several of his brothers and a couple of his sisters were already famous as intellectuals, artists, musicians, improving the life of many people in India. They were already famous when he was born. He grew up hating public school. I mean, it was a British run school.
Yes.
And what he hated was that it was so rote. The learning was strictly rote and memorization, and he just didn't learn that way. And he finally, I think he was 8 or 9. He refused to go back to school. If you can believe this, this is a man who eventually won the Nobel Prize for Literature and was knighted by the King of India, England. But he refused to go to school, so his brothers educated him, and he had a very strict schedule every day at home that included all kinds of scholarly topics, as well as learning about their spiritual heritage, as well as physical fitness and music. He was a musician of great caliber, self-taught, and a poet. Those were his primary loves in his life. And then he learned about other cultures and about science and about math and about different languages.
It just an amazing life, wasn't it? I mean, if you Google Tagore, that's T-A-G-O-R-E, you're amazed at what he accomplished during his lifetime. The name of Linda's book is Healing, Pilgrimage with Tagore, India's revered teacher. You mentioned pilgrimage. Talk about, what do you mean by what you were on a pilgrimage with him?
When a lot of people think of a pilgrimage as a physical journey to a physical location.
Yes.
That is not what I mean when I refer to this as a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is, in essence, no matter how it is or where it is or when it is, it has to do with a spiritual process and spiritual learning. And of course, many people take physical pilgrimages, and I've done that too. This was a pilgrimage over the course of many years of my life when I was dealing with a lot of sorrow and loss in my life. And I needed, and I craved for some sort of nurture and spiritual depth that could help me get through it. And I discovered Tagore, and it's it's remarkable to me that I never heard of Tagore, because I have a lot of formal education, but I never heard of Tagore until I was, I don't know, 55 years old. And I started looking up his stuff, and like you said, Rick, I started looking things up about him, and I was just amazed.
Yes.
But for me, it was a pilgrimage because mostly he identified himself as a poet and a singer. And I started reading some of his poetry, and it just spoke to me so deeply. He was a man of great faith in holiness and the holiness of all people. And he came from a Brahmin background, a form of Hinduism. He stretched his belief in spirituality through his encounters with people all over the world and meeting people from other faith traditions. And as I read his material and then learned about all the sorrows in his life, I was feeling hope and healing, because it was so beautiful and it was so inclusive. Everybody is welcome in that spirituality that he embraced.
It's amazing when you tell this story, because you were looking and you found an answer in Tagore. Our guest on the program is Linda L. George. Her book is Healing, Pilgrimage with Tagore, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. We'll have a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's take that word healing, because it's so important in all of our lives. How do you define healing?
It's much bigger. Of course, I'm not minimizing physical healing, and I absolutely believe in physical healing and pray for it for a lot of people. Healing is much bigger than that, though. Healing has to do with one's mindset, with one's relationships, with one's outlook on life. And we've all been broken in so many ways, and especially since the beginning of COVID. And I mean, we've always known, you know, relationships break. People have to move when they didn't want to move. People lose their jobs. People's dreams are crushed. Sometimes there's physical violence. All of those things are things that may call for healing. So for me, healing is more about one's spirit than about one's physical condition.
Yes.
But I'm not denying the physical needs too. I think though that sometimes even with a physical healing of say a heart attack, even with that doesn't necessarily mean that there's complete healing unless there's some strengthening and hope and nurturing of one's soul and spirit.
The book is called Healing, My Pilgrimage with Tagore. Tagore is T-A-G-O-R-E, if you're Googling. The book available all of the usual places. I understand I mentioned in the beginning, you've been widowed twice. Is the death of a close loved one of the primary emphases of your book?
I started doing the writing in response to some of Tagore's poetry that especially spoke to me about the depths of grief of losing a husband. And then while I was literally working on this material, because one husband had died when I was only 42, and literally while I was working on this material and learning more and more about Tagore, my husband Wayne was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I was watching him suffer and feeling so hopeless. So I wanted to write the book, though, so that people would know, yes, there's certainly healing from that kind of grief, but there's so many kinds of suffering and loss in our lives that also call for healing. And it's certainly not limited to the death of a loved one or the illness of a loved one.
What are some of the other types of suffering and loss that you address in the book? Because suffering of loss, healing, grief, aspects we all deal with in our daily lives. What are some of the other types of suffering and loss that you talk about in healing?
Well, obviously, most recently, it's been the horror of COVID.
Yes.
All over the world and other variants of that have just been so cruel and so rampant. There's suffering and there's hurt from watching our environment be diminished or destroyed, fires, flooding, watching certain breeds of animals and nature dying off because of things going on in our environment. There's the grief of losing friends, not necessarily because they died, but maybe there was a rift between us and someone that we had cared deeply about, and it was an emotional breaking up of the relationship that just was so painful, and we don't quite feel right and don't know how to feel okay about that.
Yes.
Maybe it's something we did. Maybe we hurt somebody and we know it, and we need to forgive ourselves, and we need to try to figure out a way to forgive some other person who has hurt us or hurt others that we love. Maybe an animal that you've loved, as I have so many, that has passed, and you just feel like your home is empty without them. Maybe it's because you watch the news and you see all of the suffering in the world and you just feel like you can't do anything to help. I mean, all of those events and many, many more call for some sort of healing.
You mention in the book that grief doesn't just disappear with time. Sometimes we feel we give it time and it will work out. What concrete actions can people take to help us work through their own grief experiences? What can we do?
There are a lot of things. Obviously, I have a very wet cat looking at me.
That's fine.
Obviously, it helps if we have somebody who is sensitive and generous with their time to listen to us. And we don't always have that. And sometimes the person that we think might be helpful just isn't. And that's, there's so many reasons for that. We all have our different personalities. We all respond to different things. But for me, one of the things that's so helpful is just to be out in nature. You see, I'm surrounded by these lovely trees in my backyard.
Beautiful background you have.
And what you can't see, just below my property line is a creek that runs for several miles. And in 10 minutes from my house, I can walk to the pathway that leads literally for miles along that creek. And that just lifts me up every time. We can listen to music that speaks to us. And sometimes we need to listen to music or read something that makes us feel even more sad. But sometimes we just need to let ourselves feel that. I think that's one of the issues, especially in the American culture. We've worked so hard to ignore or deny grief, suffering, loss, however one wants to phrase that. But we've worked so hard to just pretend it isn't there, either our own or somebody else's. And that's why we have so many issues with mental health. I think that's part of why we have so many issues with mental health.
So suppression doesn't really work then?
It doesn't work at all. It doesn't work at all. We need to find a way to face that which is feeling so hard to do and that which may be hurting us. And maybe we can't do it, but a tiny bit at a time.
When you break that down for us so well, the book is Healing, My Pilgrimage with Tagore, T-A-G-O-R-E, India's revered teacher Linda L. George is the author and our guest on the program. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, and a link directly on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Time is going by so quickly, I highly recommend this book. This will help so many people as we go through all of the different emotions, grief, and the healing that we all go through as humans. We commonly hear there are stages of grief. Do you agree with that? Is that accurate, do you think?
No, that's a misnomer. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who had spent decades offering psychological assistance to people who knew they were dying, people who knew they were dying of some sort of disease or illness. And she offered those stages. I can't come up with them in order, but denial and fear and
yes,
anger, so forth. The problem with calling them stages of grief, I mean, there's many problems. So it's not neat. It's messy. As I say in my book, grief is messy. And it's all over the place, emotionally, physically, how we respond to grief, how we ignore it. And it's okay. However we're feeling is how we're feeling. And the problem with saying there's stages is as if it's some sort of orderly,
like a checklist.
Like a checklist.
Yes.
And if you check something off, it's gone and done. Well, that just isn't true of grief.
Doesn't work that way.
If depending on the depth of the grief, which has nothing to do, by the way, with how somebody else thinks it is. If it was the death of my cat, I might be grieving deeply for a couple of years. Certainly if it was the death of my husband that I loved, I'm going to be grieving deeply, but it could be moving away from your friends. It could be the trees in your yard had gotten diseased and had to be cut down. Whatever it is, you're the only one who knows how deeply that affects you. And to say that there's stages like a checklist indicates that if you experience this particular emotion, then it's over with and you can go on. And that just isn't the way it works.
That's fascinating because we think, okay, if we can get through stage number two, I've only got three more to go and I'm going to be out of this. And it's simplistic, I guess, when you really break it down and think about it, and it doesn't work. This book is going to help and is helping so many people, healing my pilgrimage with Tagore. I'm going to take a couple minutes here at the end and just ask about what we do when we're trying to help other people. We have a hard time assessing our own grief. Certainly we can't assess somebody else's, so we really sometimes don't know how to help them. How does your book help us help those other people who are going through their suffering, their hurting?
Well, I hope that it helps people. It gives people a lot of different perspectives about what grief is and what all is. Like I said, there's thousands of ways that people may be grieving. And they, many times, especially, I think we don't acknowledge that it's grief. We just say, "Oh, I'm in a funk," or "Somebody did something to me, and it's their fault." Blame somebody else, or "I screwed up, and I'll never make up for it." Or how we help is we listen to ourselves first of all. We acknowledge what we really feel and what we really believe. We acknowledge that we are a person of substance and value, and I'm going to do what I can to try to get through this difficult period. And maybe there's somebody that I trust and care for deeply. Maybe there's a professional therapist or clergy person who can help me. Maybe all I need to do is add some creative things in my life that make me feel good, whatever that is. If it's baking, if it's gardening, if it's reading, if it's music, if it's poetry, if it's taking care of animals, we all have events in our lives and activities that help us feel good. And that may be what we need. And obviously, you know, I'm not talking about violence and anything like that.
Right.
But we have positive events and activities in our lives that help us to feel good. And whatever that is, embrace that. And don't criticize yourself because you think you're wasting time or you should be doing something else, or you should be helping somebody else. Just let yourself know that you are a person of worth and value, and there is truth within you, even if you haven't recognized it.
I'm going to take another minute or so here because this is so important. I keep mentioning it's something that we all go through, healing, grief. Does everyone experience suffering and loss, even if it doesn't seem obvious, maybe to them or certainly to other people as we look and think, boy, their life is great. I'm sure they don't have the same problems that I do. Or someone maybe is in denial when they're going through hurting and grief. Is it something we all suffer?
Absolutely. In my book, I cited a definition that my husband, Jerry, I didn't even know this. I found it in his papers after he passed. He said, grief is whenever something you love, cherish, or prize is lost, stolen, or dies.
Wow.
Whenever anything that you love, cherish, or prize, it can be so many things. It can be an idea. It could be an item of artwork. It could be your health. I mean, there's just an endless variety. Whenever something that you love, cherish, or prize is lost, stolen, or dies. So if you just hold that definition into your head, you will think of all kinds of ways in which you or others can experience grief and maybe not even realize it. Grief has become a kind of a bad word in our culture, and I hate that. And I hear people say, well, you know, it that happened a year ago. Why are you still talking about that? Why don't you let that go? And all the time on the news you hear people say, well, you know, this school shooting was last week and they're still talking about it.
Yep, yes.
that's kind of a maybe out there, but we've seen that and heard that, and we just need to honor ourselves and feel what we need to feel.
This book will help so many people, not only in their lives, but as you say, helping other people get through the process of grief and healing, and you break it down so well. The book is Healing My Pilgrimage with Tagore, India's revered teacher. The author is our guest, Linda L. George, PhD. The book available at all the usual places, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all of that on our link, thisweekinamerica.us. Linda, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much more we can talk about, and hopefully we can continue our conversation. Thank you for joining us on the program. You've helped a number of people by writing the book and by talking about it.
Thank you so much, Rick.
It has been our pleasure. Healing My Pilgrimage with Tagore, India's revered teacher, Linda L. George, the author, book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on to our Amazon page, Barnes & Noble. Get all the information. Order the book there as well. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.